Yeah, I go back and your thoughts on how everything played out, and I know it's an excuse, but just watching Tennessee, they just didn't, they certainly didn't have the same intensity as they did on Saturday against Kentucky, and they seem out of sync, and credit Auburn. Sometimes we get down to matchups. Like I talked about last hour, the fact that Ole Miss not once but twice beat Auburn during the regular season. But we look at, the Tennessee-Kentucky game, third time around, and certainly Tennessee was focused on bringing down Kentucky again. And I wouldn't say they overlooked Auburn because they just lost to them on the final regular season game of the year. But I just don't think they had, they tried to will themselves to a win. For whatever reason, they were just out of sync on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of things. I mean, for one, you got to give Auburn credit. They're a team that does a lot of things really well. They shoot the three, obviously, really well, like they did Sunday. And they've got some really good athletes on that team that give anybody trouble. There's a reason they're a three seed. It's not just that they beat Tennessee on Sunday. They've had a pretty good season. So you got to give them credit. And clearly, they present the matchup problems for Tennessee and everybody else. I think a couple of other things, though. I think when you have such a cathartic win like they had against Kentucky on Saturday, and a couple of players at least did sort of admitted to this, I think that some part of you thinks it's such a storybook ending there that you're just going to show up the next day and things are going to fall your way. Reminded me, the comparison was made. It was as if the miracle on ice happened in the semifinals, and then the U.S. had gone out and lost the next day.
Right.
Usually you see that end with the perfect ending, and it just didn't happen for Tennessee. And I think on some level they almost expected it to. And then the other part is I think they were just sort of emotionally and physically spent. They had sort of built up the Kentucky game to be the championship game, and it was the third time they'd played them. They knew Kentucky, what were the challenges they presented, and I expected that to kind of decide the championship because that's what everyone thought going into the tournament. And so I don't think they overlooked Auburn, but on a certain level, I think you almost expect things to fall into place once you get a win that impressive, especially the way it happened against Kentucky. I think they almost just expected that, and then were sort of emotionally spent, and also played three games in less than 48 hours. All that's pretty tough to do in tournament play, and it's a good lesson for them to learn from going into the NCAA tournament.
Having a chance once again to talk Tennessee Vols with Ryan Callahan. I brought the reference up as far as, looking back at that 1980 U.S. team, and I use the same reference point because many just assume when they beat Russia, hey, that was for the gold medal. And, a time sometimes makes us forget exactly what transpired, and that wasn't the case at all. And in fact, if they had lost on Sunday, we wouldn't have been talking about that Miracle on Ice team from 1980. And here it's just like the fact that Auburn, I don't think anybody was anticipating Auburn to win the SEC tournament. I mean, it was only the first time that they've done it since 1985. It would be honestly like now that Auburn's done that, not being able to get back down to earth, and then in this first game, as far as the tournament is concerned, coming up tomorrow from Salt Lake City, they get themselves upset by a 12 seed in New Mexico State. I mean, it's the same principle, the fact that, Auburn has no business losing to New Mexico State, but if they don't get grounded and ready to go, that certainly could happen.
It could, and maybe not even – it might not even take that. A lot of people saw that matchup and are thinking New Mexico State can win that game anyway. And that's the way Tennessee has to look at it. They have to look at it as, what really matters is what lies ahead. At the end of the day, they know they've missed two opportunities now to hang a banner atop the Bowling Arena because – of losses to Auburn back-to-back weekends. That's something they've got to live with now. But they know also at the end of the day, if they've won the SEC tournament and lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament, that's what everyone will remember this team more for, not that SEC tournament championship. So they know what this team's going to be defined by ultimately lies ahead, and that's how they've got to look at this. But, yeah, basketball can change so much from one game to the next, and we may look back on that Auburn game as just a blip on the radar for a Tennessee team that accomplished some great things this year. Ultimately, that they've got to hope that's what it is, but that they certainly had some things exposed too that could hurt them in tournament play, and one of those is defending the three and being able to keep up with a team that presents that many problems with so many athletic guards on the court. There are other teams they could face that are at least similar to that, so they've got to learn some defensive lessons from that game too.
Well, Tennessee is at its best, especially when they're scoring points offensively, by when they're in a flow. And one of the things that Auburn did, besides create those turnovers, they basically got into Tennessee's head. But the other things, even when Tennessee would have open shots, in so many ways, it would be situations where Auburn's guards pestered, you'd have to take the extra dribble, then try to put up a shot where it's not in the natural flow of the game. So there's some learning opportunities there for Tennessee, and in so many cases where they didn't do it Sunday, where at that point, pass the ball one more time, because mm-hmm. when you get out of the flow and it's not your natural flow of taking a shot off of an assist from somebody and that kind of opportunity, when you're out of sync and out of flow, pass the ball to somebody who is going to be in sync.
Yeah, and Sunday was a stark contrast to what Tennessee normally does. They're a team that normally shares the ball really well. Their assist to turnover ratio has been outstanding for most of the season. For them to have a game like that where just they're turning over left and right, several consecutive possessions at one point in the first half, they had turnovers. Just to have a stretch like that from that team was so out of character, and I'm sure felt out of character to them. But, that's something Auburn did. Auburn is a team that sort of takes some chances on the defensive end. They look for every angle to get a deflection. If they see a passing lane, they're trying to dive into it and try to make something happen, and they succeeded in that. Tennessee's got to learn from that. They've got to take better care of the basketball and value it more. It's not been a problem for them the rest of the year. So you've got to think they'll be able to put that behind them and move on. But it is something they didn't do very well at all in that game. And clearly Auburn is the type of team that took advantage of that and presented some problems, and give them credit for doing that. But Tennessee's also got to bounce back and learn from that.
There's a couple of things that really stick out, not just from Tennessee's journey that begins this week, but the other six teams as well, seven teams this year from the SEC that have advanced to the NCAA tournament. But what they've gone through, these teams that are still dancing during the regular season and even last week as far as the SEC tournament. I was mentioning with Doug Segrist out of Birmingham last hour, like an Ole Miss. They're in the 8-9 battle with Oklahoma. You get by that, you're going to be taking on the number one seed from the South in Virginia. Well, here's an Ole Miss team from a confidence standpoint. They know that they swept the season series against Auburn this year as SEC tournament champs. And you can go down that list and make cases for most of these SEC teams and reasons for them to be confident with regards to their matchups, not only their first game, but especially the ones that are favored to advance to the field of 32 even. I think with what the SEC teams are going through now, week in and week out, I think they're battle-tested, and certainly more than just a Tennessee or Kentucky could make a run this week over the next
exactly
2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think the fact that they are so battle-tested, it's going to help them in this tournament, obviously. And now, at the same time, I thought the tournament selection committee gave the SEC a lot of respect. I thought they, for the seedings they got, Mississippi State getting a 5 seed, as you mentioned, Ole Miss getting an 8 seed. Tennessee and Kentucky 2 seed, LSU 3 seed. That conference was well regarded this year, and with good reason. So that depth of the conference is going to benefit them. It's already benefited them, obviously, in terms of seeding. They've got to take advantage of it now. But I definitely think Tennessee and other teams, they're going into this tournament feeling pretty battle tested, because especially in Tennessee's case, they played a second half of the SEC schedule that really challenged them week after week, game after game, almost the last several weeks. And that's something Tennessee is going to really benefit from, I think, now going into the tournament, where even a 15 seed might challenge them this week.
If you could only have 3 teams from the SEC and to run with them and chances to make the Final Four, before the SEC tournament and before things broke down in Baton Rouge, it would be really easy. Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU. I'm going to throw out Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State, for one, I don't see them going past the Sweet 16, but I definitely can see them making the Sweet 16, beating Liberty and then getting by Virginia Tech, the 4 seed. I think it's going to be almost, that's just asking too much to get by Duke once they get to the Sweet 16. But I'm going Tennessee right now, Kentucky, and Auburn. Those are my 3 teams.
Yeah, I think those are the same 3, too. And Auburn is even one of those teams. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a one and done team at the same time. They drew again a tough first round matchup, and that's one they've got to find a way to get past that one. But I do think those are the 3 most likely. LSU, you got to think. We've talked about it before. All the turmoil there, you've got to think that's going to make it even tougher for them to make a run. You know, it certainly showed up at least a little bit in the SEC tournament with their early exit from that. You don't count them out. Certainly, they're talented enough to overcome that, but it's just going to make it tough for them. And I still think the two teams at the end of the day that have the best chance of making a run are clearly Kentucky and Tennessee. I think there's probably a big drop-off after those two, but I do think Auburn has a chance. I think it's always tough when you rely on that sort of up-tempo, three-point shooting style, but there are teams that pull it off sometimes, so I definitely wouldn't count out that maybe Auburn can sort of springboard off what it accomplished this past week at the SEC tournament and put together another run if they can get through this first weekend.
Well, twofold here. I'm definitely pulling for the 14th seed in Yale to beat LSU. Look, LSU is only a 7-point favorite in this matchup coming up on Thursday. But I look forward to seeing Belmont 11 seed against Yale the 14th seed with a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line. I'm not going to reward LSU. I saw enough with the transcript from the FBI. You can say, well, everybody cheats, whatever. I don't want to hear it. I hope LSU goes down tomorrow, period, end of story.
And that very well might happen. Yale is a really good team. They shoot the ball well. They've got a possible future NBA player on their roster. So they've got a lot of things going for them, and that's a tough game for LSU, even under normal circumstances. But, yeah, combine that with everything they're going through, and that's, if you're picking a 3-14 upset in this tournament, that might be the best shot to take, honestly, out of those four. So that's a tough first round game. There are some tough draws for teams in this tournament. Even Tennessee, you know, some people see that as being a fairly favorable draw. But even in that game, they face a Colgate team that leads the nation in 3-point shooting since February 1st as a 15 seed, and then the Cincinnati team that just knocked off a Houston team that had two losses before Sunday. So there's not an easy path for much of anybody. Although I do think this tournament is sort of set up for the ones and two seeds to have a pretty good chance to be in the Elite Eight and have the best chances of making the Final Four.
I think his last name is pronounced Oni, O-N-I, but the player you're talking about, you're Coach K with Duke feels the same way as you do about the Yale player being a quote-unquote lottery pick, first-round pick. I mean, he's that good. So, and there's a reason why, if you haven't been following, usually we see a Harvard in there as far as in recent years. And in the past, Princeton. Yale beat Harvard. Yale is good enough to beat LSU.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And you know, LSU is one of those teams, though. They sort of had Lady Luck on their side at times this year. You know, the win at Kentucky, getting that one at the buzzer at Rupp Arena, that's a win that you look back on and say, you know, if that would have gone differently, the SEC championship goes a different direction for the regular season. So they caught some breaks along the way, even though they were not quite as fortunate in the SEC tournament. They got some breaks in the regular season that allowed them to go 16-2. They found a way to pull out some close games, including against Tennessee. So if they can continue that and learn from that in the SEC tournament and shake off what happened last week, they're good enough to make a run too. But, yeah, I do think that's a dangerous first-round draw for them. And Yale is much better than that seed might suggest, I think.
Bernard King, he was a three-time SEC Player of the Year. Last year of his three-year run, he shared it with Ernie Grunfeld. Grant Williams has the possibility of doing that, but to do that, he would have to come back. I don't know if he's shared with you recently on his intentions. What would it take, you think, during this NCAA tournament run for Tennessee for Grant Williams to come back for one more year?
That's a good question. You'd have to think that an early exit for Tennessee would play more into that storyline of him possibly wanting to come back and feel there's unfinished business. You know, if Tennessee were to make the Final Four, for instance, it's much easier to see him going if he really is that on the fence about it. I think in the end it's probably not going to come down to that, but if he does have a sentimental side of him that wants to come back next year and try to sort of build on what Tennessee's done so far, you could maybe see that happening more likely if he is frustrated by a second round exit or something like that. So that's if you're looking for anything in the NCAA tournament that might lead to that, perhaps that. But I think Grant Williams is a pretty smart guy. He's going to study what feedback he gets from NBA people and do his due diligence. And I would not be surprised if he does leave for the NBA draft. We've seen projections all over the place with him, from top 10 picks on a couple of occasions to, you know, middle of the first round, end of the first round, and even second round. So nothing would surprise me with him, but he's got a tough decision to make because he's a sort of unique player. And if he had the chance to go in the first round, I think he would be he would be probably hurting himself to come back and risk you know the chance to go lower next year or have an injury or something that could impact that if he thinks he can be a first-round pick this year.
Well, I mean, a couple things are at play. How close, by the way, is he to his degree? Do you know? He'd have to, if he's not there, he has to be right there in that neighborhood, at least. The other part of it is the fact that if he can get enough insurance to insure himself of a quote-unquote injury or a career-ending injury, that could come into play as well. I mean, the bottom line is there's going to be money for Grant Williams at the next level as far as the NBA. And if you're having fun, and here's the thing, you're only going to get better if you come. I mean, just because of the depth, like I said, last year, 8 of the 14 teams made it to the NCAA tournament. This year, 7 of the 14. The depth of the league from top to bottom is not going away. So you're only going to get better if you come back. You get to still be with your brothers as far as on the team. As you mentioned, it could be unfinished business. The fact that you could become a three-time SEC Player of the Year. So if you can get the proper insurance to cover any kind of injury, I would say why not? That, I mean, what's the big rush to go on to that? I mean, I would, and for me, just from a pure selfish reason as well, I just miss those days when players would play 3 or 4 years instead of being the one and dones.
Yeah, well, it's a tough decision for a guy like Grant Williams. You know, this is a guy that had Ivy League offers coming out of high school. You know, he's a really smart guy. He's, you know, some of our colleagues sort of refer to him, his teammates for that matter, refer to him as sort of a nerd. You know, he plays board games, Settlers of Catan, if you're familiar with it. He carries that around almost everywhere he goes. So he's not your typical athlete who's only focused on the NBA. He's a guy with sort of broad interests, good academic background, lots of reasons he might be interested in coming back for another year. So that's why I think it is a tough decision for him. On one hand, you know, the lure of a first-round draft pick and then that contract that comes with it is tough to pass up, but at the same time, you know, he might have academic reasons to want to come back. Certainly, if Admiral Schofield was coming back for another year, I think he would have a very hard time turning down the chance to play with him for another year. He certainly loves his other teammates, too, but those guys are pretty close. So with Schofield leaving, I think that would maybe make it easier for him to leave, but there's a lot for him to consider, and it's not just as simple as, you know, I think I can be a first-round pick, I'm going to leave. I think he will think a lot about other factors, including what you're saying, just kind of having fun at the college level.
It was fun for me watching him, too, on Friday, Saturday. He and his teammates sat right in front of me prior to, you know, as far as first game before they took the court for their second game. And just watching his preparation and the way he prepares mentally, being focused, not goofing around. I mean, it's certainly, you know, thinking about the task at hand. And, you know, I love watching players to see how they prepare, where their mindset is, you know, prior to a game. And it was just fascinating watching him. And just that aspect of it, you know, certainly it creates the, and there's a reason why we look at the success that he has enjoyed in his career with Tennessee.